Standing in a Venetian piazza, staring at what should have been creamy perfection, I tasted nothing but disappointment. Sugar crystals crunched between my teeth, artificial flavors coated my tongue. The towering, Instagram-worthy gelato I just bought was a tourist trap disguised as Italian authenticity. That moment shattered my romanticized notion that all gelato in Italy was magical, but it also planted a seed. Sometimes the most transformative journeys begin with disillusionment, teaching us that finding the real treasure requires looking beyond the glossy surface. This wasn't just about dessert. It became a metaphor for everything that followed. Learning to distinguish authentic experiences from pretty illusions, embracing discomfort as a teacher, and discovering that the sweetest moments in life often come after we've tasted the bitter ones first. For years, Italy lived only in my daydreams. I told myself I'd go when the time was right, when I had a travel companion, more money, better timing. Meanwhile, I was drowning in New York City as a professional dancer, working in an industry where 98% of success factors were beyond my control. Anxiety attacks became routine, I was burned out, broke, and beginning to hate the art form I'd once loved. One sleepless night at my mom's house in Michigan, a thought struck with startling clarity. Why am I waiting for someone else's permission to live my life? The next morning, fueled by wine and tears, I booked a one-way ticket to Venice. I had student loan debt, barely made rent, and couldn't afford this trip by any rational measure. Yet I felt strangely calm. I took on four jobs simultaneously: dog walking, teaching English online, working coat check, anything that paid. When people warned I'd get kidnapped or said, "You can't do that," their doubt became fuel. My first morning in Venice justified every sacrifice. Watching gondoliers laugh over morning coffee, seeing sunlight dance on canal water, I thought, "You can do this." Months later, I met Dario at a Florence jazz club. When COVID hit, after he'd moved to New York for me, we decided to build our life in Italy. Landing in Italy as a resident stripped away my illusions fast. After quarantine, I confidently walked into a pharmacy asking for birthday cards, armed with Google Translate. The pharmacist looked at me like I'd grown extra heads. Italian pharmacies only sell medicine, not greeting cards or beauty products like American ones. I needed a cartellaria, a stationery shop. This moment crystallized what living abroad actually means. No amount of research prepares you for the thousand small ways daily life works differently. Years earlier, I visited Naples with preconceived fears about danger and scams. Guarded and judgmental, I hated it. Returning a year later with zero expectations, I discovered a city exploding with joy. Beautifully chaotic, filled with music and laughter, where scooters weave through crowds. Naples refuses to perform for tourists, offering raw, authentic Italy instead. When a friend suggested Bratislava, a place I knew nothing about, I went without preconceptions and fell completely in love. These experiences taught me that expectations are heavy luggage. Culture shock spirals into frustration when we expect things to work like home. What we need instead is curiosity over entitlement, humility over frustration. I posted my first TikTok on the plane to Italy, assuming nobody would see it. When we landed, it had gone viral. During quarantine, I kept creating videos about Italian culture shocks. 4 months later, my culture shock series exploded. 10-second skits showing exaggerated but authentic reactions to Italian life, from teens legally driving motorcycles at 14 to government vouchers for celiacs. Creating content gave me community while navigating a new country during a pandemic. In Mediterranean culture, food and family are inseparable. Meals are connection points where families gather, creating symphonies of laughter and conversation. Mangia doesn't just mean eat, it means I love you. I was terrified of meeting Dario's family. Italians hold la familia sacred, committed to each other like a wolf pack. I worried I'd disrupt this balance as a non-Italian who barely spoke the language. At my first family lunch in the Tuscan countryside, I devoured my tortellini and brodo quickly, believing the fastest way to an Italian family's heart was enthusiastically enjoying their food. When Dario's mom offered seconds, I cheerfully replied, "See," until she brought out the second course, stuffed rabbit with potatoes and spinach. That's when I learned Italian family meals consist of multiple courses: antipasti, primi piatti, secondi piatti with contorni, fruit, dolce, and finally coffee. I felt sick for 2 days. Dario's nana stood 4'11" and used a walker she jokingly called her car. When she learned ravioli was my favorite pasta, she greeted me at our next lunch with homemade ricotta and spinach ravioli she'd rolled and stuffed herself at 89 years old. This village mentality extends beyond blood relations. Pregnant friends get escorted to the front of government lines and receive complimentary meals. At a small Tuscan restaurant, an elderly woman calmed a crying baby for struggling parents. Beautiful recognition that family extends beyond blood, creating connections supporting both young and old generations. Increased visibility brought intense online bullying I wasn't prepared for. My dance career in New York had taught me to handle criticism, but it also embedded a deep, people-pleasing tendency I only recognized later. I've received every imaginable hate comment: attacks on my appearance, accusations of operating on daddy's money, claims Dario only wants a green card, insistence I have no business discussing Italy as a non-native. The most frequent attacks question my intelligence specifically because I'm American. Everything culminated at an event in Spain. When a beautiful woman asked if I was American and mentioned a place name I couldn't hear over the noise, I people-pleasingly responded, "Oh, cool," instead of asking her to repeat it. She immediately challenged me, "Wait, babe, do you even know where that is?" My new friends burst into laughter, not with me, but at me. Oh my gosh, it is true what they say about Americans. I retreated to my hotel room and sobbed. The next morning, I faced a choice: quit or continue. As I contemplated giving up, I thought of my community built on kindness, respect, and curiosity. Some people won't like you. Some will feel entitled to judge your worth. But when someone projects unprovoked negativity, it reflects their own struggles. Send them love, wish them well, and move on. They don't deserve more energy, and you don't deserve to have your light dimmed. Let me introduce you to my nemesis in Italy: Poste Italiane. This institution functions as post office, bank, government office, and cell phone provider. My first innocent attempt to pick up a care package involved strolling in at 9 a.m., expecting 10 minutes, only to find a line stretching out the door. I waited an hour, only to learn my package hadn't arrived. It never did. My parents' Christmas card arrived the following July. Here's what matters. You won't love every aspect of where you live or travel. Rose-colored glasses come off when you're handling legal documents instead of sipping Aperol spritzes. No perfect place exists. What drives me crazy about Italy? Terrifying driving on narrow medieval streets, napkins that don't absorb anything, cash-only businesses, missing toilet seats in public bathrooms, and labyrinthine bureaucracy. Loving something healthily means understanding its flaws and choosing to continue loving anyway. 6 months after moving to Italy, I found myself curled on my bathroom floor at 2 a.m., silently sobbing. I wanted to speak my own language, express myself around Dario's friends, handle simple tasks without feeling like a burden. I wanted my family, my friends, peppercorn ranch dressing, and Taco Bell. I wanted a damn bag of Cheetos. Homesickness hits unexpectedly in waves. 1 minute you're on top of the world, the next you're suffocating in overwhelming guilt. Guilt for leaving family, abandoning customs, and most surprisingly, guilt for feeling guilty at all. You'll miss life's biggest moments: weddings, births, graduations, funerals. You'll feel lost, stupid, and dependent. But finding comfort in the uncomfortable is necessary for growth. Among difficult moments come beautiful ones. You'll do things you never thought possible, have your mind expanded by different traditions, and discover your own power. I still experience homesickness occasionally, though episodes become easier with time. When visiting New York now, I find myself homesick for Italy. It's a beautiful realization that I can deeply love two places and call both home. Life isn't about choosing one perfect place. It's about expanding your heart to hold multiple homes, multiple identities, and the full spectrum of human experience. At Sunday dinner at Dario's aunt's house, I downed my after-dinner grappa like a shot. The horrified yet impressed looks taught me that grappa should be sipped slowly. With a comforting smile, she praised my effort. Ma brava! This moment introduced me to a fundamental Italian concept, the art of being unhurried and savoring life's pleasures. I gradually noticed how Italians enjoy everyday moments. An Italian friend listed telltale American signs: gym clothes without going to the gym, very white teeth, being extremely loud, and eating while walking. Italians rarely eat while moving, even standing at the counter for morning espresso rather than grabbing it to go. This philosophy culminates in August when businesses close for chiuso per feria and Italians take extended vacations. When I questioned how work gets done, an Italian friend challenged me. How do Americans get quality work done without time to recharge? You work yourselves to death, take pitifully short vacations you can't enjoy because you're stressed, then return still stressed. We take a couple weeks off, but come back refreshed. Italians define success not by how much they work, but by how they live outside of work. I began this journey hoping my stories might empower even one person to face their fears and explore the world. Travel isn't merely about visiting new places. It's a gateway to self-discovery and growth. There will be uncomfortable moments when you doubt yourself, times when you'll want to retreat to safety. Do it anyway. Book that plane ticket. Embrace failure, learn from missteps, and persist. I was terrified to travel internationally alone, to move to a foreign country, to put myself on social media, to start a business, to write this book. But I did it anyway, and so can you. Life is beautiful, and we can't take for granted each day we experience this magnificent world. Growth happens only beyond our comfort zone. The world brims with lessons and experiences waiting to be discovered. I don't have everything figured out yet. Who does? But I do know this. There's plenty of bad gelato in the world that will make you wonder why it exists. But there's also incredible gelato that will transform how you see life. Living through the bad stuff is the only way to find the good stuff. And you, darling, you deserve the good stuff.